Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. For today, August 10th, we have our guest tonight with us, Marietta Carter-Narcisse, and we're excited about tonight's show, but I want to remind everyone that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have a comment or question, please call that number and press the option to speak with the host. You can also join us on Twitter or tweetchat.com for our Twitter conversation as we're doing our interview tonight. And you can use the hashtag Beauty Lounge. So make sure you use hashtag Beauty Lounge to follow the conversation. And now I'm going to turn it over to Denise, who has beauty news.
I actually don't have beauty news tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you had beauty news. Well, I'm going to just jump right into the conversation then. Hi, Marietta.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Very well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Well, Marietta, you may have a bit of beauty news. Can you tell us a little bit about your class that you're doing in San Francisco?
Say that again? I didn't hear you.
I said, can you tell us a little bit about the class that you're doing in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a two-day class in San Francisco on September 8th and 9th. And, again, this, you know, the focus is really on film and television. So those people are really interested in building the career in film and television. And it's to give you some of the nuts and bolts of what it's like working on the set. So it's really a focus on, you know, script breakdown, set etiquette, continuity, all those key elements that you really need to strengthen you for working on the set.
Oh, cool. Now, you recently, your classes that you do, your workshops by Marietta are all online, and you recently did a class with a school, with a makeup school online.
Yes, I did. I actually did with Astute Artistry. And they're in, I got to tell you exactly where they are because I don't want to tell you the wrong place. So give me 2 seconds to tell you exactly where Astute Artistry is in Illinois. And,
okay.
And they've got a wonderful school going, and I really like her philosophy. So I was very, very excited to do the class online. It was great because students had a chance to tune in, and we talked about the just kind of like a day on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to really enlighten them about what it's like to work on an actual set. So I just took them through a few scenarios, and they loved it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that was through WebEx?
Through, like, how I do my online lipstick lectures? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
now,
the same way.
So you could see all of the students, and they could see you.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow.
It's two-way video feed. So I didn't, you know, it was a way for me to get there without leaving leaving home. Yeah, it was great. I really like that, and I really want to do more of those because I feel that there's certain aspects of the industry that I can do that I can do very effectively via the Internet. I don't have to be. I don't have to be there in person. Of course, if I'm going to be teaching actual physical application of makeup, then, you know, that I need to be there in person for. But if I'm
right.
if I'm doing a lecture, I can do it from any place. I can
exactly.
technically be on the beach in Barbados and do it, you know?
That sounds nice.
Okay, let me tell you exactly where Astute Artistry is. Astute Artistry is started by the founder, Lisa Glickhoff. She's like really wonderful, and her team is really fantastic. And they're located in Michigan. Yeah, they're located
okay.
in Michigan, yeah. And they're like a technical trade school. So they kind of teach everything, you know, and it's great. It's great. Their whole philosophy is wonderful, and they're really nice, and the kids really loved it.
Let me ask you, were the students all at the school when they were doing the class, or were they all individually in their own homes or wherever?
No, they were actually at school.
Oh, wow, nice.
It was like an auditorium, you know. They were like at school and they gathered together and they knew it was going to be on and stuff. So it was really nice and the instructor was there, and so it was great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully you get to do more of those. That sounds like it would be a great benefit to the schools, you know, not having to fly someone in and you know cover all of those expenses, but just to be able to you know have you.
Oh yeah.
That? They sit in the classroom mm-hmm. and they can, you know, they can bring in
yeah.
extra instructors that way. That sounds great.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. That, you know, because that's what I love to do. So, you know, now how do
yeah.
I get into the chat room? That's what I always have trouble with. How do I get into the chat room?
Well, if you're trying
don't
to get in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, then that's not going to work.
No, I know I got to go into Twitter and I go into what?
Okay. Go to tweetchat.com.
Tweetchat.com. I could never remember.
And you sign on with your Twitter login.
Okay. Oh, Beauty Talk. That's what I'm looking for, Beauty Talk.
And you're looking for,
right?
we're using the hashtag Beauty Lounge.
Oh, Beauty Lounge. See, I'm so behind. Don't laugh. I'm so behind. Okay. I'm getting there now. I'm almost there. My computer's so slow. Yeah, Beauty Lounge. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, I'm there now. All right. Yeah.
All right, now, Marietta, we want to talk about tonight your most recent project and basically what it takes to create the look of, you know, an iconic performer such as Whitney Houston. I think everyone has seen the pictures of Whitney and Yaya side by side. It was beautiful. It was amazing.
Thank you. It was, it's interesting because this is, I can't remember how many, I was trying to think of how many icons I've done. this was interesting. Working with Yaya was an interesting experience. And it really takes, you really got to research.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to research, and you do have to play with product, and you do have to know what products, the limitations, the strengths and weaknesses of your product, you know what I mean, what your product can and can't do. You got to know what the director wants. You got to know what the producers want. You got to know what the actor wants. It's such a collaborative effort, you know, what wardrobe is doing, and, you know, and now today, you
mm-hmm.
know, and because, again, this was period. It's
mm-hmm.
hard to think of the 80s as period, but it was period.
Yeah.
You know, so there are different elements involved. It's not just contemporary makeup,
right.
but it's making sure that the application is relevant to the period that you're doing, and doing the research and looking. And, you know, there's a fine line of, you're really not trying in a lot of ways. I mean, because in order to duplicate that person, you kind of need prosthetics, right? So in a lot of ways, it wasn't about trying to duplicate. It was making Yaya look as best as she could to create the essence of Whitney. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It was to get and create the essence of Whitney so that when you're looking, the elements are there, compounded with her acting, then you really see Whitney and not Yaya.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then this is such a fine line because it's like little subtleties, like little things. Like, I mean, one of the things that we had to deal with was Yaya's eyelashes are very curly.
Mm.
So we had to straighten them out.
Right.
Because if we didn't straighten them out, we couldn't get lashes on.
Right.
You know, well, I mean, as something as simple as that that you wouldn't think about.
Right.
But when the lashes are so curly, you know, when the lashes are so curly, it really is difficult to get lashes on, especially when, you know, and sometimes I use double lashes. I use Ardell double lashes, which are, like, really wonderful because when I did Sparkle, we put one lash on top of the other to double them. But Ardell now has doubles.
That's good to know.
They're fabulous. It's so fabulous to work with because I got that depth without having to put on two pairs. But there were times when we had three pairs on her. We had the Ardell doubled and another pair, you know. And it was like when we did the hue, the wide masters, we did those for the stage performance because you really needed a lot to make that eye show. But when we got in for the closer, we just used the doubles.
Gotcha. Okay, so before we go any further with the makeup, and because I'm really excited to hear about all of that, I have a question also about the challenges that you faced because the picture that my sister referenced. That picture, of course, was done in the 80s. I believe that was 80s, late 80s. And so, yes, it was period. And back then, we weren't shooting with HD cameras. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So before we talk about that, I want to get to something else first. But just keep that in mind because I want to ask you about some of the challenges creating, you know, this look for this period. What challenges did you face, you know, basically making up Yaya and the products that you're using, the products that you used on the show, what challenges did you face trying to create that 80s look and using all these double and triple lashes? I just basically want to know the challenges that you faced just doing all of that because I'm sure, you know, although it gave you the look on stage when she was performing and it gave you that 80s look, but if that camera went in close, I know you said you just used the doubles on the close-up, but even with the doubles, you know, what did that look like? You know, when you look at the monitor, you know, what did it look like? How did you keep it from looking like, you know, how some of these ladies walking around with some of these lashes on nowadays, just with your natural eye, you look at it and you're like, oh my God.
But you know what? The Ardell lash was so beautiful. It was so beautiful that it didn't look lashy. Does that make any sense? You know, it looked really nice. It was a nice. I use those, and I also use Mondo's wispies. And
yes.
Mondo's wispies look like curly hair.
Yeah,
the human hair hand tied, and they looked really natural. They looked really natural and really beautiful, and sometimes depending on the look we were going for, like for all the stage stuff, I used the heavier lashes, but for regular daily stuff, I just used the Mondo wispies. For the stage, I used the Ardell doubles, and for the regular stuff, I used the Mondo wispies because they were light, and I love the way they were spaced, so it looked very natural, and it had a little bit of a curl in it.
Mm-hmm.
And those worked really well with the Yaya's lashes. Again, because, I mean, Whitney's eye shape is different than Yaya's, so we didn't use a top liner on Yaya
exactly.
a lot of times to keep the shape as close as possible.
So that brings me back to my to the question that I was going to ask, and you brought it up right at the very beginning with the research. How do you go about researching such a project?
Like, well, now it's different because there's so much information on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we used you know, I just wanted to make sure that the photos that I was pulling was the same photos that production was referencing. So I used a lot of photos that production had referenced, and what the costume department, what the costumer Mona May referenced, and that made a tremendous difference. So,
gotcha.
So everybody has to be in sync,
right? And when
because
you think
there was some very specific functions that we were doing. There were some very specific functions that we were doing, like when we did the Soul Train Award to, in 1989. So there were some very specific things that we were referencing. So we searched for those photos and those outfits that Whitney wore. And again, it was creating the essence. So some things weren't duplicated. They were mimicked as opposed to duplicated. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean that's what we played with. Obviously with the photo, like the photo that I'm looking at the photo, I pulled the photo up so I can look at it and reference it. Whitney's eyebrows were a lot bushier than Yaya's. But I gotta
right.
tell ya, if I put those eyebrows on Yaya, it would have taken away and it would have been distracting and all you would have seen is that what was she doing? Because there's nothing up there that says I'm referencing this 1980s photo. So when the
right.
average person is looking at it, if you're not looking at them side by side, you're going to think I made a mistake.
Mm. Right.
So,
and I know
so,
that's one of the things I picked up on were the brows, and I was like, wow, Whitney's brows are very bushy.
Whitney's brows are they are so heavily penciled in. With black pencil, and they are so thick and so bushy. If I had put that in Yaya, she would look like Rosha Mark.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look clownish, and with certain
and
things
then,
that you're doing, you still have to be able to think of what the end result is going to be, as opposed to sometimes always trying to duplicate.
Right. And also, going back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago about the HD camera, filling
yes.
in those brows with black pencil is just not going to work out too well.
No, no, no. And I didn't even use black. I couldn't use black because, again, not with HD. It's not going to read the same way. It's not going to read the same. It's not going to – I did not want her to look clownish.
Right. Right.
I wanted her to look pretty.
Right. So how God, this is so much I want to know. I don't even know what to ask first. So how
one at a time.
I know, but it's like I want to ask all of them at the same time. But so how challenging was this movie?
It was very, very challenging because one of the things that I realized is the pace of movie making, especially for television, is not
mm-hmm.
going to get any slower. It's just going to get faster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you have very little time to pull buffaloes out of your butt.
Right.
But you got to pull them regardless.
Right.
They just want to know that you can do it regardless.
Right. Even if you don't know how to do it, you better figure it out.
Exactly. So those problems are my problems, not production's problems.
Right.
So it meant when I went in, for me as a department head, having a key that is a real key is the ultimate in getting your job done. And I don't care what anybody says. If you don't have the right key, you're not going to get your job done.
Mm-hmm.
and that key who understands the responsibility of a key, which is really a lot. The key has a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
And I had a fantastic, fantastic key. Noreen Wilkie was just on the ball. I mean, you know, you've got to have somebody who knows how to read that call sheet, who can interact with the AD, who's not afraid to approach the AD, who's not afraid to go in there and do what is necessary. I mean, I literally got off of a plane, arrived in L.A. Sunday night about 11 o'clock, and with the time difference, I was up and had to be ready to walk out that house for 9 o'clock that morning, which gave me no time to unpack, and with all the makeup I had, et cetera, et cetera. And my computer crashed on the plane coming out. My first stop literally was to the Mac store to see what was wrong with my computer that had been open. So all my work, everything that I needed, I lost. I had to wipe my computer clean, which is devastating for me. Absolutely devastating. So that was a really frustrating process. You know, and then to the production office, and then to shop. So literally, and then the next morning, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And
wow.
I was dealing with jet lag, and that killed me. But, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I put in a 17-hour day.
Right.
Because we did makeup tests and photo shoots all at the same time. That's the page. We're doing that photo shoot you see with Whitney. We did 5 looks for the art department. So we could get the whole bodyguard look, all of that. We did all of those. We did the album cover, the bodyguard look. We did all those things. 5 looks. That's a lot of looks and a lot of changes when your makeup is not unpacked. So what I did was I had my key there with me, and I had hired an intern to come in and literally help unpack as I was working, so that because the key element that I did before I left Florida was I literally, every stitch of makeup that I traveled with was meticulously organized. I mean, every stitch of makeup. It was all meticulously organized in bags, and I packed it that way because I didn't know what I was going to encounter in Los Angeles. And so I knew I could say, okay, I'm going to try a Makeup Forever product. I know I could tell her Makeup Forever is in such and such a bag because I packed them all together. So I packed my stuff by the company. I find that that's the easiest way for me to work. As opposed to, I packed all my stuff by the companies, you know? I separated them that way. I also found that when I moved into the makeup trailer, that's how I organized them, because then I could say, well, I want a RCMA this, or a Makeup Forever that, or a Fashion Fair this, you know what I mean? Or all the different products that I used, or a beauty blender, and then I organized them in the drawers that way. Because it made it easier for me to go to it.
Right.
You know, so it was quite challenging. And then I had powders and stuff, you know, things separated. I tried different powders. I tried different products. You know, I tried different foundations. I tried a lot of different things to see what was going to work the best and give me the best end result. Like in that photo you see with Yaya, and the one where her and Whitney are side by side, she's wearing a Graftopian foundation. With several different colors on our eyes from Fashion Fair.
No, Marianne, when you say you tried all these products, you were trying these products in the test, or were you still trying product beyond the test?
Let me tell you, I was still trying product beyond the test. Still trying product beyond the test. But during the test, I used Graftopian on the test, and then when we shot, I used our CMA.
Gotcha.
Now, even though I love Graftopian, I found that it didn't do what I needed it to do for her.
Mm-hmm.
The Graftopian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it didn't do what I wanted it to do for her.
Gotcha.
So I ended up using
The RCMA Shinto 6 actually was an exact match to her skin.
Oh, great. So that's the beauty of the whole makeup test when you're on a film or television show, because you get to experiment, think it's going to work, and then if it doesn't work, of course, you know, you have time to change it. It's not like you put like a week or two into the project using one thing that doesn't work, and then you got to figure out what does, and then the look is different. That's the beauty of having that day to test it all out.
Right, and I tested, and the Graphtopia looks fabulous in the photograph. And, mm-hmm. I mean, in the photograph, they did. I mean, it's the way he shot it. I don't even think they retouched any of this, actually. Because if they had retouched it, they would have changed the colors to match. They would have changed the background. They would have changed everything. So they kept it as is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they didn't retouch. They didn't retouch. I mean, I look at it, I can tell.
Yeah.
It's the same photograph on my camera.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Same photograph on my camera.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you. Now, there are often times on some movies where you don't get a test. I can't imagine on a movie like this where you wouldn't have a test. But what do you think, or how would you have approached the makeup for this movie had you not had a test?
Oh my God, it would have been real. It would have been real trial and error. I would have been changing foundations the next day. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I'm even thinking like if you between the time when you got the call to do the job and the time you got to Los Angeles, maybe getting to Los Angeles a little earlier, meeting with the actress, doing your own test, if possible, I think is one, you know, one scenario. But if that wasn't even available, would you have just been going crazy, or how would you have approached it?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. The first thing I did was first of all, she got cast a week before we started shooting.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Okay. And so the first thing I did before I even passed, as soon as they sent me information saying that she was playing Whitney,
mm-hmm.
what I did is I called her and introduced myself to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to find out if she had any particular allergies.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I wanted to know, because that takes it into a different dimension if the person's got allergies. So I wanted
exactly.
to know. Does she have any allergies that I have to worry about? And she said, no, she didn't have any allergies, but she is mindful because she was breastfeeding. And so she, you know, hormonal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that unto itself is an issue, because when you're breastfeeding, you know, your hormones run amok. So,
right.
so occasionally there's a breakout that you have to deal with, and you know, her skin is not flawless. Her skin has gotten a little bit of issues, so I had to deal with that. So that was interesting. So it was I was constantly trying to find the least aggressive means of dealing with her skin. So we used Cetaphil, which it's very, very simple, but Cetaphil is not heavy duty. So if you have oily, dehydrated skin, to your needs, but it's not going to do what I need it to do.
Right.
So that was one thing. So I experimented with a lot of things. Because our days were long.
I know, you know, depending on the budget of the production, like I know for me sometimes, especially on my last show, I was able to send an actress that I was working with that, you know, she had issues with her skin as well, like lots of breakout, you know, raised bumps. Like the texture of her skin was not great at all, very oily skin. And, you know, it showed up on camera the very first day she worked. It was just not good. And putting makeup on top of it was, I don't care how pretty she looked, it just did not look good. Her skin did not look good. So we actually got permission to make facial appointments for them, for her and then a couple of other actors. And it helped because she was able to go two facials, like 2 to 3 weeks apart from each other, and it really helped her skin. And you know, that whole canvas just became, you know, almost a perfect canvas just within a few weeks based on how she showed up the first day. It was, you know, it was horrible. But depending on the production, you may have extra money, you know, production may have extra money to kind of help you out a bit in that area of trying to correct some of that stuff. I don't know if that was the case for your project or not, but I just thought I'd throw that out there for anybody.
She actually went and Angela actually sent her to her personal facialist and stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, you're dealing with 5 weeks.
Right.
So the time was so fast, and some days the changes were so many. One of the things that I used was DermaShield on her face every day. I use DermaShield. You know DermaShield, don't you?
DermaShield. What kind of product is DermaShield?
DermaShield. A lot of people who do a lot of heavy duty prosthetics use DermaShield. DermaShield is a skin protectant, and what it does,
it creates
it creates an invisible barrier between the skin and the makeup.
Mhm.
And it really helps. It really helps to cushion that sensitive skin.
Mhm.
And it doesn't interfere with your makeup, but it puts a really good barrier. So I use that every day. I had a whole routine, a whole ritual that I did. I used that every day. Some days I had to put on more Cetaphil than others,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, again, she was breastfeeding. I was very conscious of that, and she didn't want anything else on her skin, so I was very mindful of that, you know. Some days when we got to the performance stuff, I used Graftobian HD primer
mm-hmm.
in certain areas to help hold up a lot longer, you know.
Every day your ritual started with cleansing her skin.
Yeah, just not even cleansing. It was pretty much just applying just the Cetaphil. And then from the Cetaphil, then I put DermaShield.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mhm. I put Cetaphil.
Oh, the Cetaphil moisturizer.
Yeah. Mhm.
Gotcha. Okay, I was thinking cleanser. Okay.
And then DermaShield.
Mhm.
Yeah. You know, and then we went through a process.
Mm.
Then I went through a process. Yeah. And then, you know, it depends on. I mean, I had some very definitive looks. You know, like the times in the house was one look. You know, all the performance stuff was, of course, stage makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like when she went to the club, then you could really see that we pulled in the 1980s. So I had a chance to use, like, pinks and purples and blues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see, like, very definitive colors in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun.
Do you have what is your process for creating those looks? And I know it all starts with breaking down the script, so I know that. And but once you realize which looks you had to create, how do you go about creating your looks? Like, I mean, I know you're very organized and you're very detailed. Do you use face charts? How do you go about?
I because I had photos of Whitney to reference, I would look at the photos of Whitney. I would meet with the costume designer. I would always go into costume
mm-hmm.
to the wardrobe trailer,
mm-hmm.
what she was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the 80s, the late 80s and 90s, everything was matchy-matchy.
Right.
So the eyeshadows matched, you know, to the clothes and stuff. I always would go to wardrobe to see what she was wearing.
Right.
and that dictated what I was going to do. Then I would go through my repertoire in my head of what product could give me that look. So a lot of times then I would pull out, so if I'm thinking red lipstick, then I would several reds in Fashion Fair, I had several reds from Fashion Fair, which were really beautiful. So I would pull out reds. And a lot of the red were Fashion Fair red lipsticks. So I pulled out those. Then I would look at lip liners to see if any of those would deliver what I wanted. Then I pulled the glosses. So I would, in essence, be looking at 6 to 8 red lipsticks, 6 to 8 red lip liners, and then lip glosses to see where I wanted to go with this. And to see if the lipstick was a blue-red that Whitney might have been wearing, you know, things like that. And then we would try them on the back of my hand to see what the color, what the pigment was going to come out like. And it was like, that's too brown. That's too, don't like. And then I would start the elimination process. And then we'll get down to like maybe 2 or 3. And then we'll look at them and then we'll go, that one. And we'll kind of both decide on the same one together.
Gotcha.
And then we would try it, and if we didn't like it, we took it off. Because sometimes even though you look at it, but then when you actually apply it, it doesn't deliver the way you think it might. So if it didn't, we took it off. So it was a process of working and working together.
Exactly. So how much much time were you given in the morning? How much time would you have?
Oh, my God, that varied considerably because I took up everybody else's time, I got to tell you. I did. I know I did. But some days I didn't have a choice.
Right.
Some days I didn't have a choice because I told them, I said, if I don't get this on right, I'm sorry, but y'all day's messed up completely. So you got to let me get it on right.
And then on some shows in the hair department, sometimes with some characters, they're only putting on wigs. Like, they can style the wigs while you're doing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they don't need as much time as makeup anyway. So sometimes it's a little easy to steal some of their time.
Well, that's what I did because that's what it came down to, because some days I needed that time. And so I always got into somebody else's time. And I mean, unfortunately, I did because sometimes she's eating breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she's breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she's pumping.
Mm-hmm.
So there were different elements, and I didn't know who was going to walk in the trailer that morning.
Right.
And depending on the character that day, it could vary considerably. So I had to deal with that, and, you know, and it was like some days it was a breeze. You could sit down and I could just go for broke, but sometimes it was there's an input. When there's an input, there's a discussion. When there's a discussion, there are changes.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes my hands were tied. Sometimes we bumped heads. I was very respectful, but you know, sometimes some days it became, you've been living with your face your whole life. I've only had it for 2 weeks. So if you see something I don't see, please feel free to correct it.
Right.
You know, and stuff. I said, but then there's going to be a point where I'm going to draw the line. And I'm going to only give you X amount of time to correct it. Because at the end of the day, I still got to get you out of this trailer.
Exactly.
So it's a very delicate dance. It's a very, very delicate dance. And, I researched and I referenced my photos. And some days it was a strong collaboration. Some days this is what I'm doing. Some days when she walked in, it wasn't about a discussion. Some days it was like, so I went to wardrobe and this is what you're wearing. You're wearing a color block of pinks and purples and greens and stuff. I said, let's play with this. This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's play with this. So I'm pulling out, and I've already got my pinks and purples and and I've got an idea of what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I apply it in a period manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to see the color. And then the lashes, and you know, and that was a lot of fun. And then I have fun with the lips. And then I might do, you know, two to three colors on the lips, and then the gloss, because, you know, a big part of the 80s was having all that gloss.
Right.
And so we only had one chance to do all those pinks and purples and blues and greens, and then the hot pink gloss and the hot pink blush.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take advantage of that. So that was a very interesting thing. So right away, we had a lot of fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was tricky.
And so do you post photos of Whitney for magazines or actual photos in your area in the trailer?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we had pictures all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We had pictures all over the place. Yes, yes, we sure did. Yes, we had pictures all over the place, and it was all good, you know, because you want to feel like that in there. You want to have the reference tools. You want to have all of this stuff.
Right.
So, Mariana, let me ask you, how long did you shoot X?
How long did I shoot what?
How long did you shoot X in New York?
Malcolm X?
Mm-hmm.
6 months.
6 months. Okay. So I wanted to
I was in New York for 6 months, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask you to speak a little bit about that, comparing the two movies. You shot this last movie 5 weeks versus Malcolm X 6 months.
That was my prep time on Malcolm X, the 5 weeks.
right. And that's what I want to know. I want to know, like, in terms of prep time, in terms of pulling a crew together, you know, creating these looks, like, you know, budgets. You know, I just want to know what were some of the positives and negatives of it all.
Malcolm X, I prepped in L.A. before I even went to New York. So by the time I got, and then, you know, I had no internet to reference when I did Malcolm X. So what I did was I went to a place in Los Angeles called Michael Oakes Archives, which when I went into Michael Oakes Archives, I was pretty much the only makeup artist that had ever gone into Michael Oakes Archives, because it's what photographers reference. So I went in there and I got whatever pictures I could get on Malcolm. And I pretty much pulled every book. I went in the store and bought every book that I could buy. I had tapes I could listen to. So I had an arsenal of things to reference for Malcolm X, you know. And that was great. And you know, it was really wonderful. And so by the time I got to New York, I had so much stuff that I had taken with me. I'd already had Denzel's hair made. And I did, I had a friend of mine, Geneva Nash Morgan, do renderings of Denzel as Malcolm for me. And so I had so many references. I'd already started to work on my book, my continuity book for Malcolm. So I actually put together my continuity book before I even left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And stuff. And so that was really, that made a big difference. And Malcolm, there was so many looks and so many changes and so many different aspects of things. My second of Malcolm X was wonderful. I called her and I said, you know, have you ever heard have you ever read the autobiography of Malcolm X? She says, no. And she went to the library and got the book. And a couple of days later, she says, where do you want me to start? So she started a breakdown in New York for me. And then one of the things was, you know, every available person that you know in New York, I need you to make a list of, because I'm going to need them. So I, you know, pretty much had 50 makeup and hair people working under me. So when I knew that hairdressers from Broadway knew period work, they know it like the back of their hands. That's what makes them so good. And I know the speed at which they work at, and I knew that they could put on wigs with their eyes closed. So I knew I wanted whoever was available on Broadway to work with me. Because I didn't know people. I didn't know anybody's names in New York other than the young lady I was working with. And so, again, she was an amazing second, you know. And somebody who, you know, because your second has got to be able to maintain continuity. Because when you get these shows, and, you know, a show like what I was doing, when the actor works in every scene, you got to have a second that can run the show.
Yeah.
You've got to have a second that you can delegate to. You've got to have a second that, you know, that you can pass things on, and we know not to, you know, like literally do eight and skate and have people come in and break them for lunch and let them go as soon as the crowd starts to break down.
Right.
You know, you've got to have people who's not going to question you all the time. If you make a statement, they understand how to take it and run with it. They're not going to question you. Why are you doing this? Sometimes there's no time and there's no place to explain all of that stuff. Sometimes you just have to delegate and they got to run with it.
Right.
And it requires a lot of that. And continuity. My God, when you work at the pace that we work at for this past movie, continuity is of the utmost. So you really have to have somebody who understands the importance of making sure that you get those photos.
Yep.
You know, you've got to understand how to really get those photos and then label those photos. Because when, you know, we had several incidences when the director and the producers came in and they wanted to see our continuity photos. And unfortunately, hair department didn't really have the continuity photos together. And makeup and hair continuity photos are different. I hate to tell you, but they're different.
They really are.
Because I'm not taking the back of your head.
That's
right.
And
you know,
I don't want out of your face.
Yeah, I'm taking your face. I'm taking your separate picture of your lips and your eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And your nails. Nails. We do nails, ladies. We do nails, too.
Exactly.
That's the other thing
exactly.
You have to keep up.
Yep.
You know?
And toes. If toes
yeah.
are visible, toes, yeah.
And mustaches and sideburns.
Right.
And beards.
Right.
So, I mean, it was, you know, having my reference material, the comparison between this show and Malcolm X. Because Malcolm X was a feature, I knew that it was being seen, you know, 40 feet. We tested for 3 days. So your relationship with the DP and the camera operator is everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what I had to deal with. Fortunately, I had already worked with this DP. So the first thing I did was I went up to him and I said, you're going to help me as much as you possibly can because I'm limited to certain things. So I knew that he had to light a certain way in order to give me the end result.
And Ernest Dickerson did that, didn't he?
Huh?
Ernest Dickerson did that?
Say that again. I didn't understand you.
Ernest Dickerson?
On Malcolm X, Ernest did that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Malcolm X. You're talking about, are you talking about Malcolm or are you talking about?
I'm talking about, Whitney Houston. Yeah,
oh, okay,
I'd worked with Taft before, so I knew. So he does beautiful lighting. And I asked the camera operators, you know, to make sure that they bring anything to my attention. And, you know, there were a couple of days where I held a production because I looked at the monitors and I'm like, well, this is not, you know, that's one of the things. You got to make sure that you're also looking at the right color-corrected monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, several of the monitors are not necessarily color-corrected. So you got to make sure you look at the right color-corrected one. And that's very, very important. And, you know, when I look at that monitor and I see things that I didn't like one day I looked at the monitor and the executive producer said, well, look, she's got this. I said, it's not makeup. What do you mean it's not makeup? It's not makeup. Everything that you see that's wrong in the face is not necessarily makeup.
Exactly.
So I said, it's not makeup. What? I said, I'll take care of it. And I went up to the DP and I said, take a look. He said, what's the problem? I said, look. It was a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't move the flag. You know? And he said,
mm-hmm.
thank you, because he knew that that wasn't makeup. As soon as he moved the flag, she looked beautiful. That line was gone from right across her face.
Mm-hmm.
But so we have to understand, too, our role.
Exactly.
In reference to lighting. Again, there was another time where she was sitting. She was supposed, this is when she was her youngest. And she's sitting in Clive Davis's office. And literally, He had a bounce card under her left eye, but it wasn't enough. And I said to him, look what's going on underneath this. And, you know, and I pointed out, I said, look at camera left. And he said, what's wrong? I said, look at it underneath there. He said, well, I've got a bounce card. I said, I know. And he was upset that I pointed that out. But I got to tell you, 15 minutes later, I got what I wanted. Because when he looked at it, he knew it wasn't right. He just needed to take the time to do it. And so granted, he was upset, but I didn't mind. I was nice. And I've learned I will stroke you to death and kill you with kindness. But then I'm going to punch you hard because I got to get that look.
Right.
And he threw another bounce card on there. My God, she looked 10 years younger.
Mm.
And that made all the difference in the world. I think she actually looked the most beautiful in the movie in that scene. I mean, it really was amazing. So, you know, and in Ernest Dickerson's case, when we did Malcolm, like Malcolm is 40 scenes were difficult because he used two pairs of black stockings over the lens.
Hmm.
Two pairs. And that was really tough because it darkened every single thing. So I literally had to make Denzel like 3 shades lighter.
Wow.
Yeah, I really did. It was tough. I mean, it was really, really, really tough. And so, you know, it was, he had to work with me to get what we needed. I mean, we really had to work hard to get. Because one day I remember Angela needed, because I requested an OB light before we even started.
Mm-hmm.
And OB light is a light that goes onto the front of the camera that completely obliterates all the fine lines and wrinkles and dark circles and everything under the face. It's like a ring around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a ring. It's a smaller light than the ring that goes around the camera, but it creates
right.
that effect. Like that halo, you know, but, and I needed it both for Denzel and for Angela. And one day I remember, it was, Angela was supposed to look the youngest she'd ever looked in the movie, and she didn't. And I went up to him, I said, come on, Ernest, look at this. She's got to look younger. He was really pissed off because he was editing Juice at the same time. He was really tired, and he was pissed off. And he was editing Juice all night long when we wrapped. So that's not my problem, honey. I'm sorry
right.
that you're talking. That has nothing to do with me. And unfortunately, there are no subtitles that said you were tired because you were editing Juice the night before, so you
that's
didn't get
right.
any work. it says the makeup artist is doing this movie. It's not on top of her job. That's what it says. It's not going to read that the DP was sleepy and tired. And I asked him, I said, look at her. She's supposed to be her youngest. And he got pissed off. But then 25 minutes later, because that's how long it took him to read like that scene. But if I never opened my mouth, it would have been shot the way it was shot.
Right.
You know, so you know, it's like, you know, I am not afraid to speak up. But you got to be mindful how you speak up without offending anybody.
Right. Right.
So I try not to offend anybody, and if I'm going to offend you, I'm going to kill you with kindness first. So, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky. But I, you know, Malcolm X gave me every challenge I ever wanted in my career. Because I was in charge of makeup and hair. So it was really tough to make sure that all these elements were in place.
Right.
And I was working with a hairdresser. The hairdresser that came in to replace the hairdresser was from Broadway, and he'd never done film, so I pretty much had to guide him step by step. He was a brilliant, brilliant, John James, a brilliant hairdresser, but he'd never done film. So it meant I had to jump in there more than I wanted to make sure he understood the elements of what we needed done. But he delivered. He knew how to take those. I mean, he set Kate Vernon's hair and with kiss curls and clips. And when he brushed that hair out in like 30 seconds, she had the most beautiful hairstyle you'd ever seen. You know, because he knew what he was doing. He did the actual period setting of the hair. And that's what it was, and that's what it worked, and that's why it looked so good.
Mm-hmm.
And for my extras, what we did was I created a whole breakdown to hand for extras casting, to hand to every extra that they hired, because that was element. You know, when you've got 4,000 extras working, period, it's best if they come as close to camera ready as possible, because it's impossible for you to do all these people.
Exactly.
And so we instructed them how to set the hair. And, you know, once they followed those instructions on how to set the hair, how to put those rollers in, how to comb it out, once they followed that, I mean, I laid out the whole pattern and everything for them. Once they followed that, it's foolproof, it's idiot-proof. The hair is going to come out that way, whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what color nail polish to wear, and, you know, and sometimes it's best to have none as opposed to have the wrong color, especially a color that wasn't invented yet. So it's what color nail polish is to wear, and, you know, and even with the Whitney Houston movie, it was amazing. You know, some of these colors that these women were wearing as extras, they weren't readily available during that period. Like, you didn't see people walking around with bright yellow nail polish back then. You know?
Teal blue. Yeah.
It's things like that. It wasn't that same, you know, so we had to be very mindful of things like that.
This is what drives me crazy on period movies, especially when you're doing like the 1960s or even further back when you're doing 1920s and 1930s, that these young ladies show up on set with gel nails.
Oh! It doesn't work. The wrong nail polish, and then the tattoos.
Oh, well, you know, that's the whole thing. Everybody has a tattoo now, so... You know, it's almost like they need additional people to work just to cover the darn tattoos.
Just to cover the tattoos. And tattoos, I don't know if you know this or not, but tattoos cannot be seen unless you have the permission of the tattoo artist. Written
permission. I know that.
Of the tattoo artist. Thank you, Mike Tyson's people.
Yep, exactly. The only good thing I can say about that is it will keep us employed.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you have to cover those tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And it never fails. No matter how much they tell you it's not going to be seen, that is when wardrobe puts on something that shows the biggest tattoo.
Exactly.
And that was our problem. So sometimes we had to run back to the trailer to cover the tattoos. I mean, my makeup bag, my set bag was so loaded down. Oh, my God, my set bag was so loaded down, I didn't know what to do anymore.
Wow.
It was so loaded down. Oh, we were just overloaded all the time. We had so much stuff to set. And, you know, and we just had so much stuff to set. It just was too much. And I saw Aisha had a question up about what do you do to protect your products from the elements without packing up. I got to tell you, Royal and Lang Nickel has a bag.
Yes.
That's like, they have this great bag. I think you guys got one of them. Did
yes,
I give you one?
I did. I went out, I bought some stuff from them and I got one of the bags.
Yeah. Those bags are fabulous. They're like food protector bags.
Yes.
So you can put your stuff in there to protect them from the elements because it'll keep them warm or keep them cool, whatever you need. So you ask to put an ice pack in that bag and zip it up.
Yep.
I hope that answers your question, Asia.
Yeah, because when I saw that bag, I was like, this is going to be useful on set.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that when I worked in Canada on the Long Kiss Goodnight, I actually had I went out and I bought a big photographer's bag that's padded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are like padded like about an inch. And because
mm-hmm.
we were shooting in like minus 20 below weather, oh, my God, I got to tell you, the weather was so bad. We were shooting so bad. And that bag was just like a lifesaver because what I did was I was able to put the body packs that last 8 hours, those heat packs, but the body ones, not the ones for the fingers and the toes, but the body ones are much bigger and they last longer.
Right, yes.
I was able to put those into that bag. And that will last all the way up to lunch. Then I would change them at lunchtime, and that kept my product at a what I call a body temperature, so that it made it easy for me to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that made all the difference in the world. Same thing if you're in the heat, you can put ice packs in there to keep them at the right temperature, so that the products don't melt.
Mhm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference.
Let me go back to the question that I was asking you earlier, and you kind of touched on it a little bit here and there. But what were some of your real challenges with doing makeup for this '80s period with the HD camera? Because I know Whitney wore heavy makeup.
Well,
and I'm not looking at what you did with Yaya, it didn't look heavy, but I'm not sure, you know, it didn't, put it this way, it doesn't come across in print as being very heavy.
Well, I blended. A lot of it's the makeup application.
Mm-hmm.
And I blended. My process was pretty intense. I went through, you know what, I don't want to lose you, so I'm going to go get my plug. I went through several different things because I needed, because I couldn't just put thick makeup, even though Whitney wore, in her performances, she wore heavy makeup, very, very heavy makeup. So in the performances, Yaya had very, very heavy makeup on, in the performances. But you would never know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
just agreeing with you.
Yeah, she had very, very heavy makeup on in her performances. But one of the things that I did do was, is in my blending technique, they did not use red cameras. So
mm-hmm.
that gave me a little bit more room to play with.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't a red camera, oh, my God, everything would have been seen.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you know which camera they used, though?
Oh, Jesus, I can't even remember. But it was not a red camera.
Okay.
They didn't use red cameras. Uh-uh. Aeroflex, I think. I can't remember.
Okay.
But they weren't red, so they weren't us. You could get away with a little bit more. And,
mm-hmm.
but you saw everything. So I spent a lot of time at the monitors, and when I applied her foundation, in order to create that heavy look, I didn't apply it heavy at one time because I find heavy at one time cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't try to go just a heavy application because it cracks. So what I did was I applied a wash of the RCMA with a brush first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stippled that with, then I went over that with a dry brush with no makeup. I sprayed Skin de Nivea
mm-hmm.
on the brush, and then I brushed and blended that and let that set. Then I powdered it with a brush.
Gotcha.
Loose powder. I only mm-hmm. use loose powder, and I use Christian Dior loose powder, and I powdered mm-hmm. that. Then I went back after I powdered that. Then I went over with the RCMA and Beauty Blender and MAC Orange Foundation. So I used the MAC Orange Foundation to cover up the hyperpigmentation and the RCMA to blend it all together. So I went back and blended and stippled that, painstakingly stippled that over her face. And mm-hmm. then if I needed to use cream blush, it was real artsy in the application of the cream blush. Because when you stipple like that, it's very difficult to apply cream blush and not mess up what you've done.
Right.
So I would use a cream blush applicator to get the blush on, and then I would blend it with the other end of the beauty blender.
Gotcha.
Care mindful not to move any of the product. Then I set everything with a whole lot, like a tablespoon of powder. a tablespoon of loose powder. I'm not kidding you. Then I packed it in, and then I had her do that because it was easier for her to pound her face than for me to pound it. So I had her apply. I put the powder on the puff. I loaded the puff, and I had her apply it. Then she could really get it in there. And that made a tremendous difference in how the makeup held up for the day. Once I'm set like that, and then I use Lamique's blush, and I would stipple that blush with a dual fiber brush, just gently over the cheek, just very, very gently over the cheek until I got the buildup of color and I built it up. So I would use that as her natural blush. And then if I wanted it to take it into a more orange-like color or a pink color, depending on whatever. Orange-like, I used the Fashion Fair Paprika because it was beautiful. So I would use that. If I needed more pink, then I would use a matte pink. So I kind of use, depending on what direction I wanted to go, but most of the time I use the Lamique to just be on the face.
Now, that sounds like that took about an hour and a half.
It was about a solid hour every day. It was a solid hour every day. Because what I did, I always did her eyes first.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't run the risk of fallout.
Yeah.
When I did that kind of makeup application, there's no way I could run that risk.
Yeah, because it sounded like there were more challenges with the skin itself, and you needed that.
Mm-hmm.
That to be right.
So once I did her eyes, you know, and we did her eyes, I used Makeup Forever waterproof black to line inside mm-hmm. and outside the waterline, and she, you know, I had her do line the inside and outside. It's always easier for me to have the actor do that than me.
Yeah, same with me. I don't do that at all.
And then we didn't use a top liner. We used lashes.
Mm-hmm.
And bottom liner sometimes, not all the mm-hmm. time. It depends on if it was performance or if they were going out to dinner or something, you know.
Gotcha.
But if it was the house, we just sometimes no lashes, just straighten her own lashes.
Mm-hmm.
And leave, you know. I kept her eyes nude sometimes. I played with a lot of nude looks,
mm-hmm.
and then I tried to keep it as true to the period as I possibly could. So I would look at some of the photos that we had they're taken from the internet, so we didn't have really, you know, some of them weren't as clear as I wanted them to as far as a breakdown of what the makeup was. Some were very clear, And so I would look, and then the color might look like a gray. So we got as close as we possibly could to matching or creating the essence, really, of what Whitney
right.
was with. You know, because,
right.
again, you know, some things weren't identical. Some things were just, you know, the color, but then as close, then it might be a slightly different style, you know, or as close as possible. It wasn't like a duplicate, you know?
Right.
So I followed the same theme in the makeup. Like the colors, we played with the colors. We tried to keep the colors as true to the era as possible. The technique, the application technique as true to the era as possible. You know, there's some where when we did the 1980s stuff, you know, we didn't blend that. That was like harsh, harsh blush on the cheek. And you
right.
saw the blush. Kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we kept the nails very neutral because the pace that we were shooting at is impossible to change nails. Oh, my God. And, you know, some days you're doing, let me tell you, the last day we did 6 changes.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a solid 18-hour day with 6 changes, but let me tell you how these changes were done. These changes were done. We did a full press. We did TV interviews. We did all this press stuff. We did, so we would get her ready, do a full photo shoot, then she would go perform in that outfit.
Okay?
Come back, do another photo shoot in a different outfit 6 times. Just imagine that, okay? And then she would have to go do a whole scene of singing and dancing. It was quite intense. It was quite intense.
Wow.
Yeah, some days we flip-flopped so much that we didn't know if we were coming or going. We went from night to day and day to night and night to day and day to night. Sometimes the turnaround was so short we didn't know which end was up. So I was always tired. Morning always came too quickly. You know,
wow.
getting up at 3:30 in the morning is no fun to go to work. Especially in L.A. where every hour is rush hour.
Right.
So it was quite an experience for me. It was quite an experience. But, you know, it was great. You know, it made me realize what I know and what I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And it made me realize that the training that I had, oh, I take my hat off to the instructors that I had because they imparted things upon me that I realized if I didn't know these things and these techniques, there's no way I could have done that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the techniques that I use to do her makeup application comes from knowledge and years of understanding how
mm-hmm.
you get the end results of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why people like Leonard Engelman and stuff, you know, can still do Cher's makeup.
Right.
Because of how they learned, you know.
Right.
And those are the people I train with.
And that's why it's important for us to, you know, have you on the show and to talk about, you know, creating the looks of an icon and just going through all the things that you go through. And these are some of the things that people can definitely learn in your classes. And if nobody gets anything out of what you said tonight, I really want to stress, you know, your workshops and how important it is to, in my opinion, for them to take your workshops. If you have an interest in television and film, I mean, I think it's necessary that they take your workshops because that will give you the basic understanding of, I mean, it's not even having anything to do with the makeup application itself, but just the basic understanding of how to conduct yourself on set, what you should be looking for when you get to set. You know, once the makeup is done and you travel to set, your actor travels to set, you know, the work doesn't end there. You know, you're continuing to work. I mean, of course you're doing touch-ups, but like you said, you know, getting to know the DP and being right there with the DP, right, watching the correct monitors, you know, and just being able to just pull that look together from beginning to end. You know, it's not just, it's just, it's like someone throwing a free throw. You know, they're putting up the shot and then they just turn around and walk away. And then when they turn back around, they realize that they missed it because they're not following through. You know, you don't just put up the shot and just walk away. You put up the shot, but you're following that shot through until it goes into the basket. That's the same thing. You do that makeup on that trailer, you come to set, and you basically your work starts all over again.
Oh, it starts all over. And then one of the big problems that one of the big challenges, not problems I should say, that we had is the first week we shot in Encino up in the hills. Okay, we were parked. Where we were parked and where base camp was and where the caterer was and where the set was, oh, my God, 20-minute turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left the makeup trailer, I did not get back to the makeup trailer until it was time to go home. Therefore, whatever touch-ups I had to do, I had to do on set. And with the amount of changes that we had and the flip-flopping that we had, it meant that we carried continuity notes to the set. It meant that we had to make sure that we had, I'm drawing a blank, we had sides.
Mm-hmm.
That we stayed on top of the sides. And my key was great. My key had a whole schedule with one-liners and everything that we had constantly. We constantly referenced. We constantly took all the continuity photos. Because when they started flip-flopping the way they were flip-flopping, if we didn't have those things recorded and labeled properly, there is no way we could keep a match to what we had to do. There was no way. It was so many changes and so quickly and back and forth, and with the right here, the right this, the right that. Oh, my goodness. It made a tremendous, so many a times I was changing things right there. So all my foundation, all the retouches, and when there was the lovemaking scene and all the retouches and all the body stuff and things like that, staying on top of all of that. And also mindful that your actor's in character. And not
mm-hmm.
coming out of character.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing when to go in, and a good experience is, you know, you've got to know when to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
When you are around an actor in a makeup trailer talking for talking's sake,
mm-hmm.
or we're on the set and you're just talking for talking's sake, for an actor who stays in character, and coming out, things that are coming out of your mouth should not be coming out. It should just be zipped up. Just understanding and knowing proper set protocol, like you said, it is the world of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that happening, and I was bothered by that by a couple of people working around me. It was tough. It was really tough for me to deal with those things and to give respect where respect is due and know your place and understand your place within the big scheme of things. And, you know, when the director comes looking for your continuity notes and there are no continuity notes and they're pulling yours, your shit need to be on target. And printing out those continuity photos and labeling them and having your continuity book together, I mean, all of those things are so crucial. So I kept a notebook in my bag because a lot of times I had no time with the amount of work I had to do on my actor. I had no time to sit down other
right.
than when I got to the set. So I dumped my stuff in bags and I had them separated so I knew, okay, I just did this. So I had my book right there that I would make notes. Okay, look number one, da-da-da-da-da. Look number two, da-da-da-da. Change this, same makeup, change the blush. All of those things, because when I had to reference, my book was in my bag with everything labeled. Like when we did all those 8 changes, oh, my God. And then we went back to different change. Oh, no, we go back. I had to go back, and it was just a nightmare because we shot those over 2 days. So we did all those looks one day, then we had to duplicate them the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth for photo shoot and performance photo shoot. So it was knowing which lipstick, and some of them I kept the same lipstick on and added something on top of it because there was no time to take it off.
Right.
So a lot of what I did was I don't strip makeup down a lot of times. A lot of times I put makeup on top of makeup.
Right, exactly.
You know, so you got to know what you put on top of it to get the same end results.
Right.
So it's like keeping notes of everything that I did because there's no way, I don't care how good your memory is, there's no way if you don't remember all this stuff.
Nope.
Because when it starts to flip-flop, it gets confusing.
Right.
And one of the things is, again, your relationship with the AD. So when I knew I had a big change to do, and I know even though I was going to be doing it right there on the stage,
mm-hmm.
I went to the first AD and I said, you got to give me 10 minutes to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what I have to do. Give me 10 minutes. And the other thing, the stage is dark.
Right.
The auditorium is dark. So I have a miner's light that I had to put on my forehead so that I could see.
And, you know, one thing I've done in the past when working, you know, on stages like that and having to do changes on stage, we would have them set up, you know, a mirror with lights in a, you know, separate little area so that when we had to do...
That was 360 degrees sometimes. There was no place.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Sometimes it was 360 degrees because we were shooting the backstage area.
Oh, gotcha.
So a lot of times we were in the way.
Yeah, exactly. In that case, when you're not in the way, you can have them set up, you know, a mirror
right.
with light in a separate area so that you can just, you know,
exactly.
kind of take them backstage and get that done.
Exactly. So what I did was I had my miner's light that was
mm-hmm.
on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks right onto her face.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't need anything else.
Yep.
And then Noreen, when I needed help, my key was right there with a flashlight looking in my bag
mm-hmm.
for stuff. And then I found the set view?
Yes.
Those came in really handy because I could just reach for lips. I could just reach for eyes.
Exactly.
You know, those are really, really handy because I separated my cavities.
Love those palettes. And, you know, for those, sometimes people always, you know, talk about how much stuff I have in my set bag. Oh, God, your bag is so heavy. It's this, it's that. But the moment someone asks for something, when the director asks for something and you don't have it, and there's, and let's just say, you know, you're in a location where you're, you know, a 25-minute drive from base camp.
Please.
You know what I mean? There's no way you're going to get the chance to get back to, especially if you're in Atlanta and it's during rush hour time, there's no way you're getting back to base camp to get anything. So it's like
you have to
constantly think ahead.
That's what I was experiencing. That's why when we went once I left that trailer and got to set, there was no going back.
Yeah.
So everything had to go with me. So everything that I used, and sometimes I was doing more than one person. Sometimes I was doing somebody else other than Yaya. So everything
mm-hmm.
that I used went to set with me. I didn't care if I needed my own truck to drive it there.
Mm-hmm.
I took it with me. And then, you know, I took extra beauty blenders and things drop, things fall, you lose stuff. So I
mm-hmm.
took everything. The thing that I kept that I really liked was I use crowns tubes, brush
mm-hmm.
tubes, and
mm-hmm.
I had brushes in there so that I could just, and that was really helpful to me on set because I could just open up the tube and grab the brushes,
mm-hmm.
and I was ready to go. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had to devise so many different things to get my way around the set.
Right.
Because it was complicated, this one.
Right.
It was complicated. There was a lot to do. So, but you know what? I am happy that I made it through it alive.
Yeah.
And stuff. And, you know, and I realize that there are a lot of classes out there, but there are not a lot of classes that teach enough about working on a set, continuity aspect of things. And, you know, and I know people, they're always taking all the new classes about doing this and doing that, but they're not taking enough classes on learning how to work on a set properly, and it's evident because I see it.
Exactly.
You know, and I see what people post. They're not posting about continuity. They're posting about the last eyes with fancy lashes are contouring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Marietta, we could go on and on about that one in a whole nother show.
Yeah, they're not posting about that. Or filling out a petty cash envelope.
Right. Yeah.
Or filling out a time card correctly.
Right. The stuff that, you know, that when people think, oh, I can do this, I can do film, I can do TV, and they get the set. Yeah, it's all about the makeup for them, but it's all that other administrative type stuff, they have no clue. That's why I say it's important that when people hear you on this show talking about all of this stuff, there's a whole different side of it that you didn't even speak about yet. The important part of your classes, it talks about all of that. You get all of that in one class.
You know, Denise, I posted something yesterday where I said the, I don't know, you saw that, where it says the producer says,
yeah.
producer says, what is 19 an hour, no kit, you know,
right?
You know,
right.
12 man days, eight and skate, and
right.
And she said, what the hell are you talking about?
Right, see,
you know,
it's not just about the makeup.
Yeah, my key from Sparkle. She goes, one, just one. you know, and stuff. But people, if people hear that language, they don't really know what it is if you're not familiar with working on a set. You have no clue.
Yep.
They don't know what eight and skate is.
They have no idea. No idea.
Or man days. You know, and I mean, so I posted that to see what kind of response I got. You know, but I guess people didn't understand what it meant.
Well, if you don't understand, you better start taking Marietta's classes because you will definitely learn it.
It is a whole
thing. I wish you had these classes around before I started in the business.
You guys tune into lipstick lectures all the time. It's so funny that, you know. And I mean, you're like me, always eager to learn, always want to learn more. And I had some, there's another, one of the other things that happened on the set. One of the actors, her skin, even though her skin was matched up, it looked ashy because she's got the type of skin that goes green and ashy, even when it's matched up. And literally the director said, well, she looks ashy. And I literally had no time, and I just went in there and I took my matte red and I put it all over, boom, 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 and totally brightened up her face and everything, and punched her skin up considerably. But, you know, in my key, she goes, oh, my God, I'm watching what you do, and I can't believe how you do what you do. She said, this is, like, amazing to me. You know, she was watching me, and I'm thinking, this is like normal.
Yeah.
You just can throw these things on. And she was like, you know, and she was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And she's like, I just want to see what you do. And, and that makes me feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's some techniques that I learned over the years in my career. That you, I mean, it puts circles around what some people do today in application. because anybody can do skin that's flawless. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My kid can do skin that's flawless. What do? You blow it and it's done.
Right.
Let me throw you a problem skin that you're not going to get retouched.
Right.
And let's talk about it afterwards.
Right.
You know, so it makes a tremendous difference. And I'm not going to make you look like a drag queen. I think people are starting to get tired of that look.
I think so, too.
Because they finally understanding that square eyebrows don't belong on a woman's face. And square lines and sharp lines don't soften a woman's features. It just hardens them and makes her look like she's increased the testosterone in her body.
Exactly.
So true.
Yep. Those eyebrows should be rounded a little. We'll start making it a little softer.
Softer lines, yeah, and all this contouring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my gracious. If I contoured like how they contour now, I never would have passed my union test.
But, you know, that's why everybody on reality shows look like drag queens.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But you know what? I actually pulled up a drag queen makeup, and the drag queen makeup that was coming on that I watched is exactly how that girl that has that contouring video out on YouTube, she has that heavy-duty contour where you put the triangular under the eyes and stuff. That is identical to the. It is identical to what the drag queen is saying and showing. Identical. It is exactly what he. I was like, oh my goodness, this is exactly the same video.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she does, and there's no. At least he puts on foundation. She doesn't put on any foundation. She just puts highlight and contour. And by the time she's blending, it is gray.
Man. Well, Marietta, we have run out of time. No one can hear you now but us.
Oh, okay.
And I guess the people that are listening by the phone can hear. Oh, people who listen by phone can hear. And then when the show downloads, they'll be able to hear the rest of this conversation that we've been having. But everyone listening by internet can no longer hear you. But this was a great conversation tonight. It really was.
And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime. We appreciate you coming on, taking the time to share with us tonight. I think everybody out there, at least from what I can see on the tweet chat, I think everybody learned something tonight.
Oh, that's good. That's so important.
Yes. Yes.
That's so important. I like being able to. I love being able to pass on good information. You know, I think.
Yeah.
I want people to learn. I want people to learn what to do and learn how to do it correctly. I mean, I think that's so important.
It really is. Yeah. And you can join Marietta for her free online lipstick lectures. Is that the first or second Saturday of the month? Second Saturday of every month. What's next month's topic going to be?
Next month's topic. Wait a minute.
I don't have my planner.
I got to look at my planner to see next month's topic. Was it September, right? September.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. I tell you, when you packing to go away is one thing. When you come back, trying to unpack when you get home, it's like, oh, Lord, it's too much. Oh, there's something I was going to ask you guys about. Cover. I want to find a cover. Any ideas about cover for the upcoming, my 2015 calendar?
Let's see.
Are we going to talk lipstick lectures about set terminology and Honey Wagon. Set terminology.
Oh.
Yeah, I always try to keep the terminology. I want to keep that going because that's important. Yeah, I got to come up with a cover. I'm trying to...
So if you get any ideas, let me know.
I sure will. I sure will.
And stuff, yeah. Well, you ladies have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so everyone can get the topics for your Lipstick Lectures and the dates and times of your Lipstick Lectures and your workshops by going to your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm changing my website, too. That's what I'm working on, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I see Sharon Tina and Asia Tiffany. Yeah, has been on there in tweet chat.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I will be sure to put out here on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, good. This was good. Thank you so much. I was sitting there going, I know I got to do something. I know I got to do something. Well, I was looking for the I didn't even see it come up in my messages. That's why it threw me off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even see it. I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. This is not this is funny. Not funny anymore. I can't even, you know? So I'm sorry, I was a little bit lax there.
No, not a problem. Not a problem.
You were right on time.
Are you guys going to Crystal's class? That's coming up, and she's got a thing going.
That is coming up, but I couldn't remember when.
That's coming in September.
Okay, September.
Yeah, no, that's coming September. All right, since this is recorded, I'm going to get off of this.
All right.
Before I say the wrong thing.
Right. All right.
You guys have a great evening.
You too.
And for those who are listening on our phones, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Everybody have a wonderful and blessed week.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.